Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we have the most famous sitcom comedian of the 20th century, Lucille Ball. She got her start as a zany housewife in this radio sitcom, My Favorite Husband. The series was based on a book, Mr. and Mrs. Cugat, by Isabel Scott Rorick. After a few episodes, the name of the couple played by Lucille Ball and Richard Denning was changed from Cugat to Cooper. This week, we have two episodes from this very funny series. This first show is classic Lucille Ball as she tries to get back at her husband George for messing up the house. It also includes Lucy doing a funny character in an extended commercial for Jell-O pudding. Enjoy My Favorite Husband, George is Messy. First broadcast, June 4th, 1950, on CBS.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Jell-O, everybody!
Yes, it's the Gay Family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning. Transcribed and brought to you by the Jell-O family of desserts.
J-E-L-L. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca puddings. Yes, sirree.
And now Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. As we look in on the Coopers, it's Sunday afternoon, and George is in the living room reading the Sunday paper. Liz is just coming into the room.
George, have you seen my... George Cooper, would you look at this room?
Huh?
What do you think you're doing with a Sunday paper?
Oh, what does it look like? I'm reading it.
But you've got it scattered all over the floor and the furniture. What are you going to do, paint the ceiling?
It's a shame a man can't read the Sunday paper in peace.
You mean in pieces?
Well, what's biting you?
Nothing's biting me. I was just looking at this room, that's all. Papers all over, ashes on the floor, you sitting there in your shirt sleeves with your shoes off.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, nothing. It's nice to have a slob around the house.
I'm just being comfortable. Now, what difference does it make what the living room looks like? Nobody's going to see it but you and me.
Well, somebody might come by.
Oh, wouldn't it be dreadful if someone found out that our living room has been lived in?
Well, I don't mind if it looks like it's been lived in. This room looks like it's been died in.
Look, honey. I'm in my own house on a Sunday afternoon. Now, what am I supposed to do? Get dressed in my tux and read the paper in the hall closet?
Oh, what's the use? I might as well give up and admit I'm married to a mess cat.
What's a mess cat?
I don't know. But if they ever look for one, you're the large economy size. Oh, no. Somebody's at the door. What are we going to do?
How about letting them in?
The way this house looks. Quick, George, pick up the papers.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, let me do that. You put on your shoes.
What for? I don't have any holes in my socks.
George Cooper.
Okay, okay.
And roll down your sleeves and put on your coat.
We're going to feel awfully silly if it isn't President and Mrs. Truman.
Never mind. Hand me that ashtray. Oh, now, I guess the room doesn't look too bad. I'm coming. Yes?
The good old Joe Thompson live here.
No, he doesn't.
But this is the address.
Well, you've made a mistake. Now go on, beat it.
Flirt.
Well, President and Mrs. Truman, come in.
Never mind.
I'll sit down. Oh, no, not at the piano. Well, put her there, President. Pardon my claws, I'm a mess cat.
George.
And how's Margaret?
Now that's enough.
Oh, can I relax now, Liz?
I suppose so.
Good. You know, I hate shoes. You know, if I could get away with it, I'd never wear shoes again.
Well, you can always dye your feet brown and glue on some laces.
It's a good idea. I might try it.
What are you doing now? You're spreading the papers all over the floor again.
Well, where's the sports page?
Oh, honestly, George, you've got the room looking just as bad as it did before.
Oh, what's the difference?
George, I want to have the kind of house they take pictures of for magazines like Young Homemakers. This room belongs in Better Homes and Garbage. Oh, no, now that's bound to be company.
Oh, but where'll they sit? The Trumans have the good chairs.
Oh, silly, wait till I look out the window. Oh, it's the Atterberries. Quick, put your shoes on. Get your coat. I'll pick up the papers.
Now, just a minute.
Hurry, George.
Nothing doing. I'm not getting tidy for the Atterberries. They're our best friends.
But I don't want the house looking a mess.
I'm not touching a thing.
All right. That side of the room is yours. I don't care what you do with it. I'm cleaning up my side.
That's a deal.
Here, you can have these papers on your hat, and these magazines, and this old tired coffee cup. There. Certainly glad I don't have to go through your side of the room to get to the door. Hi, Liz.
Liz, girl.
Hi, Iris. Hi, Miss Atterbury. Come on in.
We were just out driving and thought we'd drop in and see what you were doing.
Where's George, boy?
He's in his half of the living room.
Beg pardon?
Come on in, you'll see.
Hi, folks.
Hello, George. Oh, my goodness, what happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
Well, it looks like the room tilted and all the junk slid to one side.
Yeah, just look at that side of the room.
I don't see anything wrong with it.
Attaboy, Mr. Atterbury.
What's going on, Liz? Half the room is neat, and half is yee.
Well, it's a little game George and I play called I'll take the high road and you take the low road and I'll have a junkyard for you. The clean half of the room is mine and that other half over there belongs to George, king of the hobos.
What caused the great divide?
Well, George just refuses to be neat. He says he wants the room to look lived in.
Oh, bully for you, boy.
For you, boy. Go on, Rudolph. Side in with him.
Yeah.
Well, why not, Iris? After all, George is just relaxing in his own home.
He's relaxing, all right, just like you do. Making a mess.
Making a mess. Making a mess.
Well, that all has a familiar ring to it.
Mr. Atterbury, would you care to join me in the hobo jungle?
I'd consider it a privilege. Where'll I sit?
Oh, just scrape around in the debris. You'll find an old orange crate or something.
Make yourself comfortable, Mr. Atterbury. Take off your shoes if you want to.
No. I'll take up on that, boy. Oh, I'm talking to my tailor. My trousers are getting tired.
Drop your cigar ashes anywhere you want to.
On the rug?
Any place.
Gad, this is living!
Would you look at that sight, Iris?
It's disgusting.
Aren't we lucky? We're spending Sunday afternoon with the Slobsy twins.
I can't stand to look at them anymore, girl. Let's go upstairs.
Yes, Mrs. Cooper.
Katie, you've been married 5 times. Tell me, how can you break a man of being sloppy?
You can't. Each of my husbands was messier than the last. Oh, you just got to face it. Women are neat and men aren't.
But why does it have to be like that?
I don't know. That's the difference between men and women.
Well, anyway, I'm not talking about a man. I'm talking about George. I'm going to break him of being messy. My name isn't Mrs. George Cooper.
You better do it carefully or your name might not be Mrs. George Cooper.
Oh, I wouldn't push him that far.
Remember, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Well, I don't expect him to sit up and speak, but maybe I can teach him not to bury his bones in the living room.
What are you going to do?
Well, Katie, it's time for drastic action. Now, my plan involves having Mother Cooper over to dinner tonight.
Mr. Cooper's mother?
That's right. You'll have to admit the plan is loaded with drastic.
But I don't get it. What will having her to dinner accomplish?
Don't you see, Katie? Mother Cooper is always looking for some reason to accuse me of being a bad housekeeper.
Yes?
Well, I'll leave the house just the way it is. She'll jump at the chance to blame me. Then I'll tell her it's her beloved son's idea.
It might work. He usually pays attention to what she says.
He always pays attention to what she says. I only know of one time he didn't, and she's never forgiven him.
When was that?
The day we got married. Now, don't move a thing, Katie. I want the old bear to see her cub in his native habitat.
Oh, she'll explode.
Anyhow, there'll be three for dinner tonight, Katie. George and me and old Blockbuster Cooper.
Poor Liz has her problems with George, but there are some easy ways to charm a husband's heart and save his pennies. Here's one way to do it. Yes, you guessed it, with Jell-O puddings. And here's a swell new dessert to try. Coffee Scotch Pudding, made with buttery brown sugar Jell-O Butterscotch Pudding. Just prepare the pudding as directed, using milk and strong coffee for the liquid. Chill, then fold in foamy whipped cream and chopped pecan nuts, and garnish with individual baked meringues. You'll find the complete recipe in leading magazines for June, and it's delectable, cause all three delicious Jell-O puddings are velvety, rich, and smooth as cream. Jell-O chocolate, butterscotch, and vanilla pudding. And they take only about 5 minutes to cook to satiny perfection. Get all three Jell-O puddings tomorrow. Find out why more women buy Jell-O puddings than any other prepared puddings in the world. That name, Jell-O, is a registered trademark of General Foods.
J-E-L-L-O.
And now back to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband. As we return to the Coopers, the trap is all set for Liz to change George into a neat, orderly husband with the unknowing aid of Mother Cooper, her mother-in-law.
Mother Cooper will be here any minute, Katie. I threw a little extra bait into the trap, a couple of empty beer cans and stuff.
Where's Mr. Cooper? I just looked into the living room and didn't see him.
Oh, he's in there somewhere. If you lift the right piece of junk, you'll find him. Oh, that's her. Mother Cooper, queen of the dust catchers. Well, she won't have to test any tabletops with her finger tonight. It's just as dirty as she's always hoped it would be.
I'll let her in.
Okay, gosh, this is a mother-in-law's dream, to catch daughter-in-law with her vacuum cleaner down.
It's all right, Katie, I'll get it.
All right.
Mother, come in.
George, my little baby, how
are you? Oh, fine. Liz, Mother's here.
Coming. Hi, Mother Cooper.
Elizabeth, dear.
Gee, I'm glad you could come tonight.
George, you don't look well. How do you feel, baby?
I'm all right.
And how are you, Elizabeth?
Oh, I...
Now, George, you take care of me.
Nice of you to ask. I really feel terrible.
I couldn't stand it if you were sick, George.
Oh, don't worry about me. I won't pull through. How are you? Rotten, that's good.
What? Oh, well, wasn't I properly concerned about your health, Elizabeth? It's just that you never look sick. You look like a horse to me.
That usually goes as strong as a horse.
Well, let's go into the other room. You didn't tell me Mother was coming over, Liz.
Well, I wanted to surprise you, dear.
Oh, well, go on into the living room, Mother.
Yeah, into the living room.
I have to get some pipe tobacco from the den. I'll be right in.
Come on, Mother. Well, here's the living room.
Well!
Well, what?
The condition of this room.
Well?
Elizabeth, when you had this fight, you didn't hurt George, did you?
I don't know what you're talking about. This is just a nice, comfortable living room.
Comfortable? Only a pig would be comfortable in this room.
Well, I can't argue with that. It's right from the old sow herself.
Oh, such housekeeping. When I think of poor George and the kind of house I used to keep for him, well, I won't say a thing.
Oh, go ahead.
No. No, I'm no longer a mother. I'm a mother-in-law. And I'm not one to step out of line.
Oh, go ahead. Why stop now?
Elizabeth, when you finally prevailed upon George to marry you, I...
Just a minute. I prevailed upon George.
That's what I said. And when that happened, I said to myself, Letitia, Letitia, no matter what goes on in that house, you are not to open your mouth.
Is that what you said to yourself?
Yes.
It must have been hard of hearing.
You should be thankful, Elizabeth, that you have a mother-in-law who'll keep quiet about this. I am not going to say a word.
You're not?
No. Quiet, here comes George.
Well, Mother, I'm glad you came over tonight. What's new?
This is the most disgraceful-looking room I've ever seen. That's what's new.
Oh!
What are you laughing at, Elizabeth?
Oh, I've been battling George for days about the condition of this room. This is the way he wants it.
This is the way he wants it?
Yes.
Oh. Well.
What do you mean, well?
If George likes it this way.
I'm dead.
Well, I just think a house should look lived in.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, baby.
Pardon me while I go out and shoot myself.
I don't understand you, Elizabeth. Don't George's wishes mean anything to you? After all, a man's home is his castle.
Well, he ought to learn to pick up his drawbridge once in a while.
Oh, you're just being oversensitive, Liz.
Okay, I give up. Apparently, blood is thicker than dust. Go on, wallow around all you want.
Pardon me, a telephone for Mrs. Cooper.
I'll be right there.
Mother, I know it hurts, but there are two Mrs. Coopers now, remember?
Oh.
It's for Mrs. Cooper Sr.
This is not my day.
I'll be right back, George.
Liz, how do you always manage to get Mother so upset?
I don't know. I'm just lucky, I guess.
Well, she really likes you, Liz. You just don't give her a chance.
Yeah.
George! George, do you know who that was? Grace Davis. She's down at the station.
No.
Yes.
An old acquaintance of mine, Liz.
Oh, acquaintance, he says.
I heard him.
You don't mind if she comes over here tonight, do you, Liz?
No, Mumsy, bring her over. We'll all go in the living room and play Ring Around the Ash Can.
She's waiting at the station. I told her we'd pick her up. Will you drive me down, George?
Oh, sure, Mother.
Elizabeth, yes. Since company's coming, don't you think you should tidy up a bit?
Oh, heavens no. Our living room wouldn't look lived in.
Yes, dear.
Well, I did say George was right, but this is different.
Different?
You understand, don't you, dear?
Oh, brother, do I understand. But George wouldn't be happy.
Well, now that I look at it, Liz, it is sort of a mess.
Another quick change artist heard from. All right, run along, you two. I'll fix the room.
That's fine, dear. Come on, George, baby.
Oh.
Mrs. Cooper, I couldn't help hearing. Are you really going to fix the living room?
Of course, Katie, I'm going to fix it. Good.
What do you mean?
They want a house to look lived in. Well, when they get back here with their precious guests, this is going to be the most lived-in house in town.
Well, here's our house, Grace.
Oh, it looks lovely. I'm so anxious to see the inside.
Oh, you love it. Elizabeth is a fine housekeeper.
Oh, well, maybe I can do an article on it.
No, that's right. You're with a newspaper, aren't you?
No, not anymore. I'm with a magazine now.
Well, here we are. Go on in.
I can hardly wait for you to meet Liz. She's... Oh, dear me. What's that in the hall?
It looks like a wheelbarrow full of cans.
It smells like it, too.
Hey, who hung that old inner tube over the lamp?
George, I think we'd better take Grace down to...
Hi, everybody! Come on in!
Too late.
Yeah, Miss Davis, I'd like you to meet my wife, Liz.
How do you do?
Put her there, Davis.
I guess we surprised you, dear.
Heck no! Oh,
from the look of that outfit, you must have been working in the garden or something.
What do you mean, working in the garden? I'm dressed for company. This is my best sweatshirt.
Oh,
I would have even worn my shoes, but I had ivy planted in one of them.
Joking, aren't you, Elizabeth?
What's the matter with you? Something different about me tonight? Come on in the living room, Davis.
I'm afraid we can't stay after all, Elizabeth.
Oh, don't be silly. I'm not busy. Come on in.
Is this the living room?
Sure, go on in. Just duck under the clothesline.
Oh. Well, Liz, have you gone crazy?
Hey, watch out for that long underwear. I got my head caught once and it flipped. Remember, George?
I'm okay for this. Sit down, Grace.
I can't. There's a nest of eggs in this chair.
Oh, darn it. I told that chicken 100 times not to lay eggs in the living room.
Oh, now stop being ridiculous, Liz. We don't have any chickens, Grace.
He does imitations.
I think I'm going to faint. Let me sit down.
Well, there goes a dozen eggs.
Liz, this has gone far enough. What's that chicken doing in the living room?
It's your fault, George.
Mine?
Sure, I told you to put more slats on the bedroom door.
Oh, George, this is the most wonderful household I've ever seen.
Oh, it's lived in.
Oh, well, I'd love to do an article on it. It would be perfect for my magazine.
Oh, you're a writer. Sure, go ahead, do an article.
Oh, would you write it, your own story?
No.
Sure, why not? I'll call it, We Live Like Pigs. And I'll sign it with my pen name.
May I take pictures?
Absolutely not.
Sure you can. Don't listen to him. Who are you with, Davis? The Farm and Feed Journal?
No.
The Livestock Gazette?
No, I'm the editor of the Young Homemakers magazine.
Oh, no!
Yes, Lucille.
What's the commercial caper tonight?
Tonight, Robert, I am a lady scientist and you are my assistant. A little scientific music, please, maestro.
How do you do, doctor?
Oh, how do you do? Are you my new assistant?
Yes. What would you like me to do first?
Well, first, I'd... Well, first, I'd like you to clean up the laboratory.
Doctor, I understand you've just completed a very secret experiment.
I have? Oh, I have, yes. Yes. I've been working for 20 years on this experiment. I've given my life to it. Many's the night I've burned my Bunsen at both ends.
Tell me, what is your great discovery?
Well, come here and I'll whisper it to you. I have discovered Jell-O pudding.
But, doctor, they've already discovered Jell-O puddings.
They have?
Yes, Jell-O puddings have been a trio of treats for years.
But that's impossible.
It's true.
Well, at least they haven't discovered my special Jell-O chocolate pudding. It's delicious with deep down chocolatey goodness.
Yes, they have.
Oh. I've been sandbagged. Well, what about Jell-O butterscotch pudding? With that buttery brown sugar flavor.
They've discovered that, too.
They have?
Yes, and Jell-O vanilla pudding, rich and smooth as cream.
Oh, I wish I was there.
Oh, don't feel bad.
Say, tell me, have they...
Yes.
They have. Well, just for that, I won't give them my secret formula.
You mean all you do is add milk and they take about 5 minutes to cook?
Yuppie!
Well, whoever discovered them, they're a wonderful contribution to the world because Jell-O puddings are nourishing, too, and a swell dessert for the kids.
Oh, so is mine. Oh, I'm so mad I'm going to pour this into this. Good night, Bobbleman.
George, do you have the hiccups?
No.
Oh, George, I can't sleep while you're hiccuping like that.
Well, I'm sorry, but I can't help it.
Well, I'll try to scare you. That always works.
Oh, right.
I'm leaving you for another man.
No, I can't scare you. Go to sleep.
I can't sleep.
Well, I've got to get some sleep. I'm going down to Miller's first thing in the morning. They're having a big sale on mink coats. That did it. Good night, George.
Have been listening to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, and based on characters created by Isabel Scott Rorick. Tonight's transcribed program was produced and directed by Jess Oppenheimer, who wrote the script with Madeline Pugh and Bob Carroll Jr. Original music was composed by Marlon Skiles and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The part of Katie the Maid was played by Ruth Parrott. Watch for Lucille Ball in Fancy Pants with Bob Hope. Say, listen to this.
It's new, it can't be beat. The grandest treat you ever did eat. Post sugar crisp. As a cereal, it's dandy. For snacks, it's so handy. Or eat it like candy. As a cereal, it's dandy. Or eat it like candy. Post sugar crisp.
Look for the red, white, and blue cellophane bag with the three little bears. That's Post Sugar Crisp. Today, enjoy this honey of a new cereal that's fun to eat. Be sure to listen to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband again next week, presented by...
J-E-L-L. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O pudding.
Yum, yum, yum.
Bioka puddings, yes, sirree.
Bob Lamond speaking.
This is CBS, where you meet Lucille Ball and My Favorite Husband every Sunday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have a fun episode of My Favorite Husband on the subject of America's favorite pastime, baseball. With all the trouble Major League Baseball has been having with the pandemic, we could use some comic relief. In this episode, wives are supposed to play alongside their husbands at the bank's employee picnic. So Liz and Iris decide to learn how to play the game. This is My Favorite Husband, Baseball, first broadcast September 16th, 1949 on CBS.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, it's the new gay family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning and brought to you by the Jell-O family of desserts.
J-E-L-L-O. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca puddings. Yes, sirree.
And now, Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. Come with us to the quiet little town of Sheridan Falls, and let's look into the little brown house at 321 Bundy Drive where the Coopers live. They're entertaining George's boss, Mr. Atterbury, and his wife. And the subject under discussion is the forthcoming annual bank outing.
Iris, what are you going to wear to the outing?
I just can't make up my mind, Liz.
Neither can I. I could wear my new play suit.
Oh, no, you don't.
Why not? It's a cute play suit.
Well, George thinks it's too daring. He says there's too much play and not enough suit.
I suppose I should wear my blue slacks, but I wouldn't be caught dead in them. All the girls have seen them.
It's the oddest thing, George boy.
What is, Mr. Atterbury?
2 weeks ago, those slacks that Iris wouldn't be caught dead in were the most adorable things in town for $59.50.
Rudolph.
And while we're on the subject, why do they call them slacks? I've never seen any in them.
Just ignore them, Iris.
The trouble is, Liz, it's hard to figure what to wear to an all-day outing like that.
I know. You need shorts for the three-legged race and slacks in case it isn't a warm day.
Yeah, and you need your bathing suit in case you decide to go swimming.
And a coat for the drive home.
Why don't you two take along a wardrobe trunk?
And a tent for the quick changes.
Oh, it's so easy for you men to make fun of our problems. You can wear the same clothes for everything.
Oh, I don't know about that. Mr. Atterbury, have you decided what you're going to wear Sunday?
Darn it all, I just can't make up my mind.
Never mind, you two.
Well, I'd wear my gym trunks, but all the boys have seen them.
Well, I'd wear my gray sweatshirt, but Iris thinks it's too daring. chose the hair on my chest.
What hair?
Why, the... what hair?
Oh, dear, it's really hard to know what to wear.
That will do, George. You are a scream, ha-ha.
I think I really will wear those old gym trunks of mine. And my baseball cap. Liz, do you know where my ball cap is?
It's in the hall closet along with that little strainer.
Strainer?
You know, that little strainer with a strap in the back.
That happens to be my catcher's mask.
Oh. Are you going to take all that stuff along Sunday?
And how? They've divided the employees of the bank into two baseball teams, and I'm captain of one of them.
Oh, really, George? That's wonderful.
Yes, and I'm captain of the other one.
That's nice, Rudolph. I'll get a bottle of Absorbing Junior.
I won't need any this year, Iris. I'm not playing.
You're not, Rudolph?
No, and neither am I.
Well, why not? You two always play.
Well, they made a new rule this year.
You mean you have to be good?
I'll ignore that. No, this year the teams are going to be made up of husbands and wives.
And you can't play unless your wife plays.
Well, why didn't you ask us? Iris and I would have been glad to play.
That's why we didn't ask you.
Well... I think that's mean. You don't even know if Iris and I can play baseball.
Well, look at it this way, Liz. Does Lippy let Lorraine play?
Oh, give us a chance. I'll bet we'd be good. Iris could be tackle and I could be quarterback.
You mean she could serve and you'd play the net?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I must have been thinking about bowling.
I wouldn't believe this if I hadn't heard it. Liz, do you know what a strike is?
Certainly. That's when you knock down all the players with one ball.
By gosh, she was thinking of bowling.
Why don't you let us play, Rudolph?
Forget it, DiMaggio.
Rudolph, do you think I'm an old lady? Too blind to hit? Too fat to run? Too awkward to throw a ball? Is that what you think?
That covers it pretty well.
Say, what are you girls kicking about? It's rougher on us not being able to play.
Oh.
Oh, what I wouldn't give to get into my old college uniform and hear the crowd yell as I slide into home plate.
Well, George, as long as you aren't going to wear that dirty old uniform, may I please throw it away this year?
Well, I should say not. Do you know what the number 5 on that dirty old uniform stands for?
It doesn't stand for Chanel.
Touché, Liz.
It stands for the best ball player our college ever had. Me.
You?
Yes, sir, little old me. There's a certain group of spectators who'll never forget the afternoon of August 25th, 1933.
If anyone asks why, I'll kill them.
Well, sir, it was the final game of the series.
Places, everybody, you are about to hear a reading of that famous epic, Cooper at the Bat.
When I came to bat, it was the last of the ninth. Two men were out and the bases were loaded.
What else?
Over, George. You stepped coolly up to the plate.
I stepped coolly up to the plate. The first pitch, right through the middle. Strike one. The second pitch, right through the middle.
Look, boy. In case the third pitch is a strike, step back. You're spraying.
Well, the third pitch came fast and hard. I gripped the bat firmly. I swung. And the ball went up, 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 and over the bleachers for a home run.
Thank you, Ted Husing.
Well, that was very good, George.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Atterbury.
Where'd you read that?
It's true, and you'd see it again Sunday. If I could only play.
Oh, now, George, you could play if you'd let us play, too.
Yes,
come on.
Give
us
a chance
to show
what we
can. No.
Please?
No.
Oh!
George. George.
Hmm? Well, what is it?
I just had a dream, and I played baseball real good, so I think you should let me play on your ball team.
Oh, now, don't start that again. I'm just as sorry as you are that you don't know how to play.
Oh, now I'm a disappointment to you.
I didn't say that.
Well, you meant it.
I did not. Now what's the matter?
You wish you were married to a first baseman.
Oh, Liz, cut it out.
I can see it all now. The bride looked lovely in cleats and a catcher's mitt. She spiked the groom as she slid into the altar.
Now cut it out, Liz. You cannot play, and you're getting all emotional over nothing.
I just wish I'd known about this a long time ago, that's all.
What?
I could have signed up for baseball in gym class instead of group games and folk dances. They've never done me any good at all.
Katie, I've made a great decision.
What's that, Mrs. Cooper?
Well, George can't play baseball Sunday unless I can play, too. So I'm going to learn all about baseball today.
I thought you were going shopping this afternoon.
I am. I'm going to learn about baseball this morning. It won't take me all day. Hand me the phone book, will you?
Oh,
won't George be surprised? Let's see now. Classified section. Automobiles, awnings, baby food, barber supplies, bottles, cabinet makers. Huh. How do you like that? There isn't a single baseball teacher in town. I'll get it, Katie.
Hello, Liz girl.
Well, come on in, Iris.
Well, I stopped by the bookstore and got the most wonderful book. It's called Baseball and How to Play It.
Oh, wonderful. Will you help us, Katie?
All right. Class will come to order. Let's see. Our baseball team is composed of 9 men.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Iris, don't forget they're going to be our husbands.
Nuts. Go ahead, Katie.
A game consists of 9 innings, and each team is allowed 3 outs per inning. Any questions?
I have one.
So have I. What's yours, Iris?
What's an out? Is that what you were going to ask?
No, I was going to ask what's an inning, but now that you mention it, I don't know what an out is either. What is it, Katie?
Well, it doesn't say. I guess that comes later.
Well, go ahead.
What are the positions of the players?
Well, they're standing up, aren't they? all except the catcher. He squats.
Oh, gee, Liz, you know much more about it than I do.
Well, I've been around a little.
That wasn't the right answer.
No?
The positions are pitcher, catcher, first base.
Oh, now, who's that?
Hello, Mrs. Cooper. Are you busy?
Well, a little, Mr. Wood.
Oh, you've got company. I won't bother you. I was just a little lonesome.
Lonesome? With 11 children?
That's just it. They're all away.
Oh.
I miss the thunder of little feet around the house.
Yeah, I guess you do.
I heard the patter of some big feet over here.
Well, I'd ask you in, but Mrs. Atterbury and I are studying baseball. We want to surprise our husbands.
Oh, you're not trying to learn it out of a book.
Yes.
Oh, you can't learn baseball that way. Why didn't you ask me to teach you?
Oh, would you? Iris, this is our next-door neighbor. Mrs. Atterbury, Mr. Wood.
Hello, Mr. Wood.
Are you sure you know about baseball, Mr. Wood?
Do I know about baseball? I saw a World Series game once.
Is that good?
I'll never forget. It was the final game of the series, the last of the ninth. The bases were loaded, and 2 men were out when Babe Ruth came to bat. He let 2 strikes go by.
And then knocked a home run and saved the day?
Yes, that's right.
Why, the big copycat. He stole that from George.
Look, if we're going to learn baseball, let's get started.
Okay.
All right. Now, let's say the living room is the diamond.
The what?
Diamond. And I put these pillows down for the bases. Now, Mrs. Atterbury, you cover first base.
All right.
Now, Mrs. Cooper, you're up to bat, and... Mrs. Atterbury, you don't cover first base by sitting on it.
Not much she doesn't. She covers first base and halfway to second base.
Liz.
That's not what I mean. No. Stand on the base, Mrs. Atterbury. Right. Now, Mrs. Cooper.
Yeah?
You're at bat, and you've just hit the ball. You run to first base.
I can't.
Why not?
Iris is on first base.
It doesn't matter. Go on, run to first base.
Nothing doing. You stay there, Liz. This is my base.
No, no, you don't understand.
Let her get her own base. Well, it is kind of silly, Mr. Wood. With all the bases that are empty, why do we have to crowd up on one?
Never mind. We'll all be on the same team. Now, this is a double play. Mrs. Atterbury, you're on first base.
I'm in a rut.
Mrs. Cooper, you're on second base. And I'm shortstop.
Okay, I'm on second base.
Now, the batter hits a grounder.
Hits a what?
A grounder. Mrs. Atterbury goes back to field the ball. You move over to cover first base, and I cover second. Now, the throw comes to first base.
Who's on first?
You are.
Well, where's Iris?
I'm back fielding the ball.
That was silly.
Now, Mrs. Cooper, you throw the ball to second.
Who's on second?
I am! Now, if it were a triple play, I would throw the ball to third.
Just a minute, Mr. Wood. I'm on first, Iris is fielding the ball, and you're on second. Who's on third?
Abbott and Costello!
There you go, crowding the bases again.
Ladies, the lesson is over. You'll never learn anything about baseball.
Yeah, this isn't our game, Liz. Let's forget it.
Oh, we can't.
What do you mean we can't?
Well, I thought it would be easy to learn all about baseball, so this morning I
You what?
I called the bank and signed us up for the game.
Oh, no!
Yes!
Well, maybe Liz ought to quit trying to learn baseball and take to cooking instead. 'Cause anybody, but anybody, can be a successful cook with Jell-O puddings. Why, all you do is add milk, and they take just about 5 minutes to cook. Here's a swell new idea. Butterscotch peach pie, made with luscious Jell-O butterscotch pudding. Just prepare your puddings as directed on the package and cool slightly. Then pour it over 2 cups of well-drained canned sliced peaches in a baked pie shell. Garnish with whipped cream. There's a dessert the family will go for. Jell-O butterscotch pudding with that rich, buttery, brown sugar goodness combined with tempting golden peaches. All 3 Jell-O puddings bring you real, wonderful homemade goodness. Jell-O butterscotch, chocolate, and vanilla pudding. They're smooth as cream. They're rich and distinctive. And once you've tried them, you'll find out why more women buy Jell-O puddings than any other prepared puddings in the world. And now, back to the Coopers. Some startling news has just been placed on the bulletin board of the Sheridan Falls National Bank. 2 new names have been added to the roster of the husband and wives baseball teams. When George Cooper found out, he acted in his usual gallant fashion.
Mr. Atterbury, something awful's happened.
The bank's been held up.
Worse than that.
Worse than that?
Liz signed up to play with my team tomorrow.
She did? Oh, that's a shame, boy.
And Iris signed up to play on your team.
Yeah, Iris signed up to play. Oh, Gad. Why couldn't the bank have been robbed?
Isn't this outing fun? You know, I didn't know so many people worked at the bank. Want another hot dog, Iris?
Yeah, I think I would.
What do you want? What would you like on it? Same thing? Pickle, mustard, chili sauce, ketchup?
Yeah, and lettuce, butter, salt, pepper, and a dash of horseradish.
Iris, at least give the hot dog a fighting chance.
How about you, George? More to eat?
Nope, got to keep in shape for the game.
Well, for heaven's sake, sit down and stop swinging that bat. You look so conspicuous. No one else is wearing his old college uniform.
Well, George, I'm impressed if you can still get into the clothes you wore in college. I have my uniform, but it doesn't quite fit me anymore.
His arm won't even fit in the trousers.
Well, George fit into his after we made the decision.
What decision?
Well, either he had to let out his breath or I had to let out his pants.
You'll sing another song when you see me play.
Who'd you finally get to umpire, George?
Our neighbor, Mr. Wood.
Oh, but he's a friend of yours. That's not fair. Why didn't you get someone from the bank, Rudolph?
They all refused. They were afraid to call a strike on me.
Well, let's get the game going. What did you do with the baseball gloves I brought, Liz?
I left them in the car. They aren't any good.
Aren't any good? I just bought them.
Well, you sure got stung. They're all left-handed.
They're supposed to be... No, never mind. Go get them and let's start the game.
Everybody, let's go. Who's up at bat first?
We are.
Okay, my team out on the field. All right, now, talk it up. That's
George,
the old pepper.
George.
Come on, whip it around the bag.
George.
There they go.
George, what are you going to play?
I'm pitching.
Well, what am I going to play? Catcher? First base? Second base?
No, honey.
Third base? Shortstop? Right field? Center field?
No,
left
Liz.
Left field? That boy? Program? Seat cushion? Popcorn? Peanut? Hot dog? George, stop me. Hot dog?
Liz.
Hot dog.
Liz, now, wait a minute.
Hey.
Liz, wait a minute. Now, I'll tell you how it is, Liz. I'm using strategy. I'm saving you.
You're saving me?
Yes. Now, when the team gets in a tight spot, then you are going to come in and pull us out of the hole.
George.
What?
Why don't you let me pitch and you wait and pull us out of the hole?
No, Liz, I want you to have the honor. Oh. Now, stay on the sidelines and root for us. All right, let's go.
All right. Iris is up first. Has anybody seen the old bat? Oh, yes, there it is on the ground. Yeah. You are, Iris.
Oh, this is exciting. Yeah.
Are you sure you know what to do?
Of course I do.
T-E-A-M-T.
Well, come on, let's go.
Iris, I think you'll hit the ball farther if you use the other end of the bat.
Play ball!
What do you mean, ball? That was a strike. Anybody could see that. You're blind or something? What's the matter with you?
Liz, I haven't thrown it yet.
Oh, well, I got the old team spirit, haven't I, George?
Yeah.
Now,
don't throw a very fast one, George.
Sorry, Iris, when baseball starts, friendship ends.
Yeah!
I'm going to throw my speedball. You won't even be able to see it. All right, here it comes!
Iris!
George, you are good. You hit her bat and made the ball go clear out over the tree.
Well, run, Iris. Don't stand there.
What happened? What was that noise I heard?
You just hit a home run. Speedball, eh, George? Let's have more of those.
Is it time for me to play yet?
Not yet, honey.
But they're ahead of us, 10-0. Isn't this the tight spot you were telling me about?
No. Now, don't worry, Liz. We're holding our own.
Holding our own?
Yes, the score's been 10-0 for the last 4 innings.
You're not going to let me play at all.
I am. I'm saving you.
Well, stop saving me. Spend me already.
Now, don't bother me, Liz. I've got to get out there and pitch to Mr. Atterbury. Now, talk to me after this inning.
Oh.
All right, Cooper boy, fire away. What direction shall I hit the home run in?
Don't worry, you won't even see the ball.
Well, let it go, boy.
Strike one!
Strike? What's the matter with you? That was a mile wide of the plate.
It was?
Certainly.
Ball one.
Ball? Are you kidding? That was right through the middle.
It was?
You're darn right it was.
Strike one.
It was a ball.
It was a strike.
Strike.
Ball.
Strike.
Now, wait a minute. What are we arguing for? Take it over. Oh.
Nice work, Joe. That ties the score.
Hey, the score is tied!
The bases are loaded. This is our big chance.
Oh, here I am, Captain. All set. Do I go in now?
Are you kidding? The last of the ninth. Three men on, two outs, and it's my turn at bat?
But you said I could play. That's not fair.
Liz, I'm saving you.
For when? Next year's bank outing? If you were going to save me this long, you should have packed me in dry ice.
Please, Liz.
You cheated me.
Liz.
Cheaters never prosper.
Cut it out.
What are you swinging three bats like that for anyway? You look silly.
Well, all big league batters swing three bats. Then you let two of them go like this, and the other one, see? Oh.
George! Help! He hit himself with a bat!
George, boy, speak to me.
Oh, what hit me? I'm supposed to be at bat.
You're not going to play any more today, boy.
Oh, but who'll bat in my place?
Aren't you glad you saved me, George?
Why? He passed out again. Harry, you take him to the first aid station.
You want to continue the game?
You're darn right we do. We'll win this one for good old George. Come on, team!
Batter up!
That's me. I'm ready. Come on, pitch it over. Wait a minute. You can't pitch from there. You're standing entirely too close to me. Back up!
Mrs. Cooper, you are facing the catcher.
Oh.
If you do an about face, you will see the pitcher.
Oh.
Yeah, I was just kidding.
Oh.
All right, let's go. Strike one.
Strike one? How can you call that a strike when I didn't even see the ball?
It came right over the plate.
Well, that's not fair. I get up here and before I get a chance to blink my eyes...
Strike two.
Now, you wait a minute. I was talking.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Cooper.
Well, why can't you wait till I stop talking?
We don't want the game to be called on account of darkness.
I'll get you for that, Rudolph Atterbury.
Now, you understand, Mrs. Cooper. You only get one more strike.
One more? Mr. Wood, my husband's lying over there unconscious, and I'm left to carry on alone. Couldn't you let me have one extra strike?
Please. Now watch the pitcher.
Right.
He's winding up.
I'm ready for him. George. George, honey, how do you feel?
No, I feel better. The doctor told me to lie here and be quiet. Oh, tell me, Liz, who won the game?
We did, by one run. And guess who made it?
No.
Yes, I was magnificent. It was the last of the ninth. The bases were loaded. Two men were out.
I know all that. What happened?
Did I stop you when you were telling your story?
Go on.
I stepped up to the plate. I let two strikes go by. Didn't even look at them. Then that third pitch came up right across the center, and I belted it out. Up, up, up for a home run.
Liz, you're wonderful.
Yeah.
I got the doctor, Liz. He'll be right in to look at you.
To look at Liz?
Yes, yes. She got hit on the head with the ball. That automatically sent her to first base and forced in the winning run.
Oh, you and your big fat mouth. Bob Lamont.
Yes, Lucille.
Bob, do you realize that I haven't been making the most of being on the radio?
Well, what do you mean?
Why, Bob, I can control the universe. If I want it to storm, I just say, storm! Stop! Didn't get wet, did you?
Not a drop.
See? Or I could be in China. Or on top of a mountain in Switzerland. That's it. I'm on top of a mountain in Switzerland. Oh, my ears are popping. Let's not be literal, old boy. I wonder if there's an echo up here. Hello?
Jello.
Oh, what a smart echo.
Puddings.
He's going in business for himself. I'll try again. Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4.
J
Jell-O puddings are a trio of treats. Jell-O chocolate pudding, luscious with deep-down chocolatey goodness. Jell-O butterscotch pudding with that buttery brown sugar flavor. Jell-O vanilla pudding, rich and smooth as cream.
Did I say that?
Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, he finally got around to it.
All you do is add milk, and Jell-O puddings take only about 5 minutes to cook to velvety rich perfection.
He's off again.
Jell-O puddings are nourishing, too. A swell dessert for the kids.
A swell dessert for the kids.
Who said that?
Who said that?
That's not fair.
That's not fair. That takes care of him. Good night, Echo.
You have been listening to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, and based on characters created by Isabel Scott Rorick. Tonight's program was produced and directed by Jess Oppenheimer, who wrote the script with Madeline Pugh and Bob Carroll Jr. Original music was composed by Marlon Skiles and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The part of Katie the Maid was played by Ruth Parrott. Lucille Ball will soon be seen in the Columbia picture Miss Grant Takes Richmond. Be sure to listen to Lucille Ball and My Favorite Husband again next week, presented by
J-E-L-L. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca puddings. Yes, sirree.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.